Hi, my name is Philip Carter, and I'm a program manager on the F-sharp and .NET team here at Microsoft. And I'm here to talk to you today about what's new in F-sharp 4.1. We're going to be going over some of the F-sharp 4.1 language features that are going to be shipping here pretty soon. And I'm also going to show you how F-sharp runs on .NET Core. So there's a lot of things that I want to show you, so we're just going to jump right into the code. So the first feature I'd like to show off is underscores and numeric literals. This is a pretty straightforward feature. As you can see here, I've defined a couple different numeric literals, one as hexadecimal, one as some bits, and one as a 64-bit signed integer. And I've just stuck some underscores in between the numbers. This is helpful if you have to deal with numeric literals for a variety of different reasons, and you want to space out the numbers in some meaningful way, such as what I'm doing right here in the bits, where I'm spacing them out such that each byte has an underscore in between them. Another feature in F-sharp 4.1 is the ability to annotate records and discriminated union types with the struct attribute. So prior to F-sharp 4.1, records and unions were heap objects, and you couldn't make them structs. Now all you have to do is add the struct attribute on top as such. And these are now struct objects instead of heap objects. This can be helpful in certain situations where a struct can be more beneficial than a heap object. However, there are a few things to note. Recursively defined types cannot be turned into structs. So for example, if I take this binary search tree type that I've created just here, and I try to annotate it with the struct attribute, you'll notice that I get an error here. This is because structs cannot be recursively defined. Another thing to note is that I need to provide a unique name for each of the cases of a discriminated union, such as circle with a radius of float and square of a side of int and rectangle of sides of double, double. So there are a couple of drawbacks to using this attribute because you are working with structs rather than heap objects. But if you're in the scenario where structs are more beneficial for you, you can now use them. Another feature we're adding to F-sharp 4.1 is the result type. So result type is very, very similar to an optional type, where in the case of an optional, you want to represent either something that exists or something that does not exist. With results, you want to capture whether or not something succeeded or something failed. And if something failed, there's typically an error associated with it, and you want to persist that error in some way. This is very commonly used in what's known as railway-oriented programming, which is a way to set up functional data pipelines, if you will, where you can persist success cases and result cases in a functional way so that at the end you get the errors that you need or the success value that you need. To see the result type in action with railway-oriented programming, here's a quick example. So in here I have a function called bind, which takes in a function and a result type as input. I unwrap on the result type and then I apply the input function if it's okay. However, if there's an error, I simply just persist that error. And I've also created a convenient operator for bind. This is very similar to the piping operator that you use all the time. So to see it in action, here's a type called request. This is just a record that has a name and an email. And I'm going to validate it with two validation functions. One, which is validate the name. It checks to see if the name is empty. And if it is, then it produces an error. Otherwise, it produces an OK. And then validate email, it does the same thing, but with the email. If the email is empty, it produces an error. But if the email is OK, then it produces an OK. I can then use that in the validate function, where I take in an input, and here it's of type request. Using the result type with railway-oriented programming allows you to establish an elegant pipeline of functionality that can account for when errors occur anywhere during that pipeline. Another cool feature of F-sharp 4.1 is the ability to have mutually referential types and modules within the same scope in a single file. This is accomplished with the rect keyword at a top-level module or top-level namespace. To show you what this does, I'll simply delete that keyword here. Now you can see that I have some errors coming up, and I get two errors in two specific areas for two specific reasons. I've defined an exception here called don't squeeze the banana exception, which depends on the type banana. But in the type banana, I am raising that exception here. They're mutually referential. In the type banana, I also have a method called peel, which invokes a function called peel in a banana helpers module, which I've defined down here. However, banana helpers also depends on banana. Because these are both mutually referential, there's no way to really express this prior to F-sharp 4.1. However, now with the top-level rect keyword, which you can use both in a top-level module or top-level namespace, you can accomplish this. Another feature of F# 4.1 is a small but convenient one, which is an implicit module suffix on modules which share the same name as a type. So to see what that means, I have a type here which I've called A. And underneath it, I have a module which I've also named A. Inside this module, I just have a function which uses the type A. Prior to F# 4.1, to write this code, I would need to use the compilation representation annotation. And what this would do is, at compile time, simply add the word module as a suffix to A. Now, with F# 4.1, this is implicit. In F# 4.1, we're also introducing the ability to create tuples as structs. Now, this is really helpful if you need to interoperate with C# 7 and Visual Basic tuples, which are also structs. To demonstrate that, I have a class that I've defined here in C#, with a method called get, which returns a C# tuple, and a method called getNew, which, given a C# tuple, produces a new C# tuple based on the input that it received. Now I can consume that just directly here in F#. In this first case, I'm binding the result of tupleClass.get into the names word and value with F# destructuring syntax. In the second case, I'm binding the result of tupleClass.getNew into a value called result. However, in getNew, I'm passing in a new F# struct tuple. It's just that simple to interoperate between F# and C# when using struct tuples. Another feature of F# 4.1 is caller info argument attributes. Now, this simple feature allows you to obtain diagnostic information about a caller of a particular method. You can see an example right here where I have a type called tracer and a method called doTrace. Now, doTrace takes in a message, which is a string, but it also takes in some optional parameters, which I've annotated with caller info argument attributes. The three attributes, caller member name, caller file path, and caller line number, allow you to obtain the diagnostic information about what they're describing. You can see in this case, I attempt to grab that information if the information actually exists. Finally, with F# 4.1, we're introducing support for the fixed keyword. Now, the fixed keyword allows you to pin down a pointer type, and this prevents the garbage collector from them moving the underlying value. You use this in conjunction with the use binding, which keeps the pointer pinned down within the scope that you have pinned it. This is helpful in lower-level programming scenarios, such as using F# native pointers to do work with pointer arithmetic, or in this case, squaring a value by extracting the underlying value, manipulating it, and then setting it. F# 4.1 also supports running on .NET Core. The easiest way to get started with that is with the .NET new command. This creates an F# project in my current directory. I'll just restore packages with .NET restore. I'll build the project with .NET build. And this uses the F# compiler running on .NET Core here on my Mac. And then I'll run it. And you can see it printed out Hello World. Wow, those were a lot of features that we just saw. You can see all of the F# 4.1 language features listed right here, such as struct tuples and the fixed keyword. And I also showed you how F# runs on .NET Core today. If you want to learn more about the F# 4.1 language features and about future language features coming for F#, click the links down below. Thanks a lot.